Good morning. It's come time to get started. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being with us this morning for Sunday school. Thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. But we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're going to continue on to Matthew chapter 24. Lord willing, finish that up this morning, Brother Terry, where it came up a couple of Wednesdays ago. We've had a good time doing all this. But before we do so, as we like to do, start with prayer. I wonder if there's any spoken prayer requests at this time. That's true. Amen. Tammy? Absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. I understand. Completely. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone else? Yes. Absolutely. Would there be another? Had a young lady message me and Tara yesterday evening asking about service times at the church here. Remember her. I don't know what she's got going on, but kind of came out of the blue. So, Felicity? Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Someone else? Amen. Brother Jeff? Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Tracy? Amen. Sure. Bless her heart. Absolutely. Anybody else? Tara? Yes. Amen. Amen. Good man. Always been a good man. Always been a real good man. Needs Jesus, though. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. Remember the devastation in Texas. I've seen flooding, which we've had bad flooding here, you know, in our own state and you know, stuff. And I didn't live through the Buffalo Creek flood, but that wasn't really nature. That was more man-made. I've always felt that. But I've never seen a river raise like it did there in Texas, and all those people they need a prayer. And people still in North Carolina still recovering from it. Amen. McDowell County, you know, it's just been one. Whew. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Remember our children, those that don't know the Lord. They need to be saved. Anyone else? Any unspoken prayer requests, uplift of hands just between you and the Lord? And if you're able to, let's stand to our feet. We'll take these to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray over the service. If any lost here, let them hear the gospel and be saved. Pray for Pastor Walker as he starts a new sermon series. Brother Joe, you care to lead us? Amen. 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 We want to welcome everybody this morning. A good looking crowd here for Sunday school. We have a visitor, not to single her out, but her name's Kristen. Everybody, so we want you to feel welcome here today. If you want to participate in Sunday school discussion, what we do here, I teach a little bit. If you have a comment or question, just raise your hand and we let you have it. So we're in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 23 is where we're going to pick back up at. What we've been going over, I'm sorry, the summer prophecy that we've been doing this year, or this Wednesday, on Wednesdays, I'm sorry, in the summer. It's about to wind down. If you haven't been a part of it, that's fine. You can still come. No big deal. But this Wednesday, we're going to start out with, a pizza party. I remember growing up, it was a big deal, Amber, to be invited to a pizza party. Amen. I can remember that, Vicki, very well. Most pizza parties birthday parties when we was kids, it seemed like birthday parties got cut off earlier when we was kids. They didn't last. You didn't get to be 10-year-old having a birthday party. It seemed like it got cut off kind of early. But in Greenville, it consisted of no invitations, just letting your friends know. And that would be a birthday cake with the cake cut in a little about that big, because they had so many kids and this cake was so small, and some ice cream and some potato chips, and that was pretty well it. Honestly, you didn't maybe get a lot of gifts, did you, Terry? But you had a bunch of kids there and you played games, pin a tail on donkey, and all those things. But back when we was growing up, ain't nobody had no money. You know what I mean? You might have had a gift or two. Mom or dad probably got you a gift or something like that. But, you know, they wasn't Pinterest-worthy birthday parties when I was growing up. But when you got invited to a pool party or a pizza party, man, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. So we're going to have pizza this Wednesday, Lord willing, before we go into the summer prophecy. So we want you to come, invite people to come. We'll have plenty of pizza. We're going to have some desserts as well, as we've been doing. So we want you to know that you don't have to cook this Wednesday. Just come and be with us, okay? We're having a pizza party. I don't know if that excites you as much now as it did when you was a kid. You know, but the cooking part should be exciting, shouldn't it? Yeah. See, I'm married to a lady that could probably eat pizza 4 days a week. She loves pizza. So I don't have the same thrill like for pizza that I used to have. The fervor for pizza, you know what I mean? But I still like it. I still like pizza. I don't dislike it. But we want you to be welcome. Come out and be with us. We're having a really good time on Wednesday nights. And the reason we're doing Matthew chapter 24 last week and this week is because of a discussion that started on Wednesday nights. So that's why we're kind of going into it. We're talking about the end times, the prophecy. And on Wednesday nights, we're talking about the book of Revelation. And this week, Lord willing, we're going to get into the second coming of Jesus and millennial reign, okay? Which is very, very big and an often misunderstood part of Scripture. When I was growing up, matter of fact, where I would go to church at, some people there, some of the elders there, and great, great men and women of God, great, great men and women, they didn't even believe in the millennial reign. They didn't believe in the millennial reign. They felt the Scripture, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. They kind of symbolized it. And I don't personally believe that. I'll go ahead and tell you that. That's not how I read the Scripture. But I'm not putting nobody down that feels that way. But there's a lot of misunderstanding and lack of teaching about the millennial reign of Christ. So that's what we're going to get into Wednesday night. So come and be with us. But Matthew chapter 24, as it got brought up a couple weeks ago on Wednesday, for years I did my best to put the church square here. I really did. And when, as if you were here last Sunday, you know, I didn't get a lot of discussion because I had so much to felt like I was trying to shove so much in, and we had the service that we went and was able to enjoy with the folks at Claypool. It just felt like it was it almost felt like Easter Sunday, where you're just trying to cram stuff in because they were so busy that day. But so if we got any questions, I want to let you ask them, and let's discuss it and stuff. But as we talked last Sunday, and if you didn't get to listen to that, go back on the app and listen to it. It actually turned out very well. Brother Dave is doing and the guys back there, John, they're doing a fantastic job with that. So anything you want to hear, Pastor Sermon, and that app, it's free. It is really good, and the audio's good on it, Terry, it even makes me look good on video because the camera's not close up. You know what I mean? It's kind of back. You know what I mean? I don't, you know. But anyway, so if you want to get a chance to, you know, go back and listen to it, if you wasn't able to be with us last Sunday, then by all means do it. But the rapture of the church has already taken place, okay? What we're talking about here, Jesus is warning, and I'll say warning, because his disciples came up to him and asked him, Lord, when is the end coming? When's your kingdom going to start? Because they wanted Israel to be restored. They wanted the Messiah to set up his earthly kingdom. That's what they wanted. That's what they expected, okay? Because the prophecy of the Old Testament said it was going to happen, Pearl. So they think automatically that's what it's supposed to be. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to overthrow Rome. He's going to set up his kingdom. It's going to be like David, even better. And boom, we're here. But the part they didn't understand is where we're living at right now. They didn't understand mercy of God. They didn't understand the church. They didn't understand Jesus being slain from the foundations of the world. They didn't get that part. They couldn't understand it, folks. It's not their fault. We still don't understand prophecy. You know, we can read it and say it's going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. Okay? They didn't understand that there was going to be a big gap of period of time that we're living in right now to where God says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And I thank God for that time. I thank God for mercy and grace and the gospel going out to the nations. There's people now that are hearing the gospel preached that never had an opportunity, Ike, to hear the gospel. Think about in different countries and stuff like that. We're blessed in this country, and that's why I hate saying this, but in this country, we're complacent because it's come so easy. The church should be full, but it's not. Look how many, there's more empty chairs here today than there are filled chairs because we have it so easy. There's places in China right now, literally, that literally pass pages of Scripture around to one another privately. In other words, she may have this page, not this chapter, not this page, not even a whole chapter, but a page, and she would read it and memorize it and pass it along to somebody else, because if they come and find the page or the paper, any trace that you've been doing that, they'll throw you in jail. Okay? They memorize it, so guess what? They can take that page away from me, but they can't take what's here. Amen? And that is going on all over this world. Okay? But we are so blessed, we've grown complacent. We take things for granted in this country. The Word of God is the greatest power of a Christian. The Bible. It's our greatest weapon against the adversary. And understanding it is very important, okay? So what has happened, and I don't want to have to go back too far because, like I said, go listen to the app if you wasn't able to be with us. But the rapture has happened. Here's where we're at. The rapture has happened. The church is no longer here. And now Jesus is warning the disciples, who are Jews, what's going to happen before he comes back and sets up his kingdom, which was the question that they asked him. And he goes on, there's wars and rumors, wars, all those things, earthquakes, famines, pestilence in diverse places, and that means many places, okay? So in other words, it's going to happen all over the world. And listen, folks, let me go ahead and ask right now. Have any of you, and look, I know there's always been flooding, but it is unbelievable what I'm seeing right now. The magnitude of floods and the frequency of floods and the severity of floods, Pearl, have you ever, I don't recall it happened and all over the place like it is so often. The earth is groaning in travail. That's what the Bible said was going to happen. In other words, Jesus said, before I come back, the earth is going to groan. All of creation is groaning in travail, as the scripture says, waiting for the redemption. So what that means is this. God created everything perfect in the Garden of Eden until, as Pastor Walker says, man come along and gommed it up. That's the truth. Amen? And can you imagine creation having known a perfect state, losing that, how much you would long to have it again, Bubby? That's what's happening. The earth is groaning in travail. It remembers how good it used to be. And it wants to go back to the way God created it initially, but until Jesus comes back, until God can make all things new again, it's going to continue to groan and travail, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And as the Bible says, it's going to happen with more frequency. The birth pains are continuing, and that's where we're at. And Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him that's in Judea, what? Flee to the mountains. If you're on top of the roof, don't come down and take anything out of your house. Get out of town. So he tells them, you need to have a quick evacuation plan. Because once he does that, he's going to turn on the Jewish people. The Bible rightly divides this in the scripture and things of that nature. But as we said last week, where is the Judean mountain? Where's Judea at? It's in Israel. Okay? If he was talking to the United States or to the church, it would be in a place more than just Israel. Let them flee to Judea, is what he said. We're also going to get into some things today that further shows that he's talking about the elect, the people of Israel, not the church, okay? The church has already been taken out. So we're on verse 23, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 24, verse 23. I'm going to ask somebody to read for me if you don't care. You care, Z? Let me give you this. Read down to verse 23-31.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much. We do that letter, read it in the microphone, one, for people to hear, and two, for the audio and video to pick up. That way, people that are following along can know what we're talking about. But as you begin to read, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, how many of you folks know this? That there, in our lifetime, we've seen people say that they were the Messiah. Okay? How many of you guys remember, Waco, David Koresh in Texas there, back, was it the 90s maybe or something like that? How many of you unfortunately remember June Jones? Jonesboro takes a bunch of people out in Africa and they drink the Kool-Aid. All those things. Those people believed that he was that. Okay? So we see that now. We've seen that in our lifetime. Okay, that's only going to increase in frequency once the church is gone. In other words, once, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you understand it to a greater degree, I believe. When the world goes to hell in a handbasket, which is the tribulation period, there's going to be all kinds of deception going on. All kinds of deception going on. People saying, I'm him. Jesus is warning them. Okay, when you're seeing all these things happen, there's going to be many people, many Christ and false prophets arise. And guess what he says? Even great signs and wonders will happen. If you were here Wednesday night, you can read that. You can understand that in the book of Revelation, the false prophet, he was calling fire from heaven that he could do in the sight of the Antichrist. Okay, that is the scripture that we can go to where it links up what Jesus is saying here. So in that time period, there's going to be a lot of demonic influence and a lot of demonic power at play. Okay, in other words, it's not going to be just like it is now. There's still demonic power at play right now. Okay, we know that. People can be possessed by the adversary. People can be oppressed by the adversary. We know those things. But the Holy Spirit is still here right now. And until he be taken out of the way, the restrainer, the adversary can't have full 100% right away, so to speak. In other words, why? Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if a born-again Christian, a true born-again Christian, cannot be possessed by the devil. Plain and simple. A true born-again Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's more powerful than the powers of Satan. Period. Okay? Now, can you be oppressed? Yes, absolutely. Do you need breakthrough from time to time? Absolutely. Can you have a stronghold in your life? Absolutely. Those things can happen. But a true born-again, spirit-filled Christian, I do not believe, can be possessed by the enemy. I don't believe that. Why? Because the strong man of the house is still living there. Until you kick the strong man out, which means you say, Lord, I don't want to follow you, and you backslide. Until you do that, then the strong man of the house is set up, then the thief can't come in when the strong man's there. Jesus makes that plain. But if you choose to walk away from Jesus, then guess what? That you've absolutely opened a door where the adversary can come in and now set up shop in that house and begin to torment people, and we can go down that road. But in other words, he says, this is going to happen. The deception's going to be so strong that he could even deceive the very elect. Okay? So in other words, there's going to be a lot of people follow him. That elect, as we said before, that's talking about the nation of Israel. That's what Daniel called them, the elect's sake. Okay? So in other words, it's going to be so rampant. Jesus is telling his people, before he comes back, it's going to be so prevalent that he can even deceive the best of people, Vicky. In other words, people that know better. You're going to look and go, well, guys, he's got to be. Who else has called fire from heaven? I've never seen that before in my life, Jeremiah. He's got to be the Messiah. Because keep in mind, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah to come. That's the thing that we fail to see. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah to come. So now all of a sudden, if you're a Jewish person, if you're living in the nation of Israel, for example, and you're taught that all your life, and this guy shows up showing great signs and wonders, oh, it's going to be easy to deceive you. Even the very elect, those people that are waiting, watching, things of that nature, they're going to go, that's got to be him. Who else could that be? Mom, Dad, y'all taught me about this. Have you ever seen anybody do this? That's what Jesus is saying is going to happen. And it goes on and it says, behold, I have told you before. So Jesus is warning them. And I tell you something right now, as a parent, I think, you know, anybody that's had children, raised children, you can understand this a little bit. Tommy, it upsets you when your kids do something wrong. You say, man, you should know better than that. But if I warned you not to do it, and you still done it, that's a whole other level of being upset or disappointed, right? That's the truth. That's just the truth. Jesus said, behold, I have told you. So there's going to be no excuse. I have told you. I warned you this was coming. Okay? And just like children, and I believe God deals with us as children. Okay? And God will deal with them as children. I have told you. So that if they are deceived, they're going to be without excuse, Vicki. Behold, I have told you. Deception is going to come. And he goes on and says, wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in a secret chamber. Don't believe it. In other words, Jeremiah, hey, guys, look. That Messiah guy, he's over there. You looking for him? He's over there. Or no, he was over there. He was over here yesterday. He done went here. Don't believe it. That's what he's saying. If they say he's in the desert, don't believe it. If he's in the secret chamber, don't believe it. Why? Because I ain't came back yet. The second coming ain't happened yet. That's what we're building up to. That's what this is going to talk about. If they say I've come already, no, don't believe that I'm in the desert. Don't believe that I'm in the secret chambers. The second coming ain't happened yet. Right now I'm in heaven with the church. I'm doing the marriage supper. I'm doing all those things. The beam of judgment, all those things that they would later find out in the book of Revelation. But in other words, it goes on, it says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So now, how many of you familiar with the rapture teaching? You know the rapture, amen? How fast is the rapture going to happen, Tara? How fast? In the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Pretty fast. Way faster than blink. So in other words, if at 12 p.m. today, and I'm not saying Jesus is coming back 12 p.m. today, but if at 12 p.m. today, the Lord would come back at the rapture, okay? It's going to happen so fast that the world ain't going to know what hit initially. Ain't going to. Can't see it. Amen? It's just true. This says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not the rapture. He's saying, for those people to not be deceived, if they say I'm in the secret chambers, if they say I'm in the desert, don't believe that gossip. For as the lightning comes from one end of the sky to the other, that's when you're going to know I come back. In other words, the second coming, when he comes back at Armageddon, every eye's going to see him. And the Bible says that he will destroy the powers of darkness with the brightness of his coming. That's what the scripture says. So in other words, and then it goes on, where the what? Next verse. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. When you read the book of Revelation, when he talks about Armageddon, there's a call that goes out to the birds. Come and eat the flesh of the kings. What's going to happen is Jesus is going to come. And then when I say this, you're talking about a grand entrance, folks. When Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, all hell broke loose on this earth. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, all those things, they're gathered together in the valley of Megiddo, which is in the nation of Israel. Okay? I think it was Napoleon, I believe himself, Napoleon Bonaparte, actually said, it's the greatest potential, the greatest site on the planet for the biggest battle that there ever could be. In other words, military strategists can recognize, man, what a battlefield that would be. Man, you'd probably mount your troops here and you would do this. And it's a big old plain in the nation of Israel. It's the Valley of Megiddo, which is going to be the Battle of Armageddon. So when they're gathered there, the Bible says there's going to be something happen. The nation of Israel is going to think she's beat, she's done. Satan is going to have his way with the earth. The false prophet, the Antichrist with all of his armies. All the nations are going to be gathered together. And can I tell you something? For people, they ain't going to be able to not be there. There's going to be something to happen that's going to pull them there. There's going to be a force. The adversary, demonic influence, demons are going to, the Bible says, are released out of the river Euphrates. And they go about to all the kings of the earth. Why? You need to come. Come on. Come on. You got to go. You got to go. And that nation will bring its army. And that nation will bring its army. And that nation will bring its army. Can I tell you folks something? Even in the midst of sin, God is still in control. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Pharaoh, who hardened his heart, God still used a hardened heart of Pharaoh to get glory. And he will do the same thing again, folks. Where the eagles are gathered, the feast is coming. In other words, there's going to be a great victory that day for the forces of God. All the forces of evil are going to be gathered, and guess what's going to happen? At that moment in time, something's going to happen in heaven, and the Lamb is going to take over a new role, and that's going to be king. He's going to mount a white horse. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. He is truth. He's the Word and His truth, and He's going to come back, and the Bible says His eyes is a flame of fire. And on his vesture, dipped in blood. Well, how'd he get that dipped in blood? Because he earned it. Calvary earned that right. Amen? And he's going to mount that white horse, not that donkey, not the colt of that donkey. He's not going to let him come back and tie him to a whipping post this time, Joe. He's not coming back with mercy and grace. He's coming back in judgment, power, and truth. And at that time, he's going to come back, and the armies of heaven are going to come after. And can I tell you something? You and I will be there. If you have the Lord in your heart, if you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how do I know you're going to be there? Jesus said, for where I am, there ye shall be also. You got a front row seat for it. But can I tell you, you don't have to do anything. You're more than a conqueror. As Pastor Walker says, well, how can you be more than a conqueror? You get to enjoy the fruits of the victory without even having to do any of the labor. Amen? And the Bible says Jesus with his word, he will speak. Zechariah actually draws a pretty vivid picture of it. About their eyes consuming and their tongue just out of their mouth. Just total annihilation. And the Bible says that the blood will come up to the horse's bridles. That's what it says. So in other words, that's what Jesus is saying here. When they say that I'm in the desert, when they say I'm in a secret place, when they're telling you I've already come, don't believe it. I've already told you that as the lightning shines from one end of the sky to the other, that's how my coming's going to be. In other words, everybody's going to say, you ain't going to have to guess if, is that really me or not? You're going to know it's me. That's what he's saying. Now, that being said, does that return sound anything like the rapture? No. Not every eye's going to see him at the rapture. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, he's there, boom, he says it, boom, we're gone. That's it, we're gone. There's no battles that's going to take place. There's no birds going to be called in for a big feast at the rapture of the church. It's not going to be that. So for us to try to say, this is the church, we're misreading what the Scripture's trying to tell us. That doesn't mean that anybody that may have ever taught you that was trying to do anything wrong whatsoever. But scripturally, when you begin to try to tie it in, Brother Terry, and say, look, this ties perfectly in with the book of Revelation. And that return ties perfectly in with Thessalonians when it says he'll destroy them with the brightness of his coming. Who's he going to destroy? The works of the Antichrist, the works of the false prophet. They've lied to everybody. They said, I am he, worship me. Who is like the beast? Who can do it? Who can come against him? Who is like the beast? He's brought peace. He's a man of war. He's perfect. Who is like the beast? But when Jesus shows up, his very presence is going to prove this man is a false prophet, this man is a false Christ, because he has no power over the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is what this Bible is trying to tell us right now. That's what Jesus is trying to let his disciples know. When I come back, when you see me come to set the kingdom up, keep in mind at this time, at this moment in time, they didn't understand the rapture of the church. At this moment in time, they haven't had the experience of Pentecost. At this moment in time, they haven't had John chapter 20 receive you the Holy Spirit. They haven't had those things. They don't understand the church. They don't understand that concept yet. How do we know that? Because in the book of Acts, when he goes up to heaven, they keep waiting. When's he supposed to start this thing? Finally, two angels come back and say, "Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus that went up is coming back in like manner." Amen. They were on the Mount of Olives. So guess what? When he comes back the second time, when he comes back to set up his kingdom, when he steps foot on the planet, it's going to be the same place he left from, the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says when he puts one foot on the earth and the other, there will be a great earthquake and the mountain will cleave in two. And the Bible even says that there's going to be a rush of water, folks, that comes flowing down through there. Okay? There's going to be a river that literally comes all the way through there. And ready for this? It's going to flow into the Dead Sea and it's going to come life again. Think about that. They're going to be fishing. That's what the prophet saw. They're fishing in the Dead Sea, on the banks of the Dead Sea. Because what? The rivers of living water are going to flow into what was dead and he's going to bring it to life again. That's all going to happen when Jesus comes back. Ain't that amazing? The world will never be able to experience such splendor until the King comes back. There'll never be world peace until Jesus comes back. I promise you this. And the Bible says in the millennial reign of Christ, and I don't want to tread all over Wednesday night, but the harvesters won't be able to keep up with the plowmen. So what that means is the growth of the harvest is going to be so big, so rich, so abundant, so fast. The harvesters ain't going to be able to keep up with them plowing or with them planting the seeds. That's how much God's going to take the curse back away. Look, any man here, some of you women too, I'm sure, but any man here can easily say this time of year, we love summer, but we hate weed eating. I can't stand weed eating. Can I get an amen? There's weeds because of the curse. Did you know that? God didn't create weeds when he initially created this planet. It was perfect. Weeds, I call it, they're suckers. They suck nutrients away from the vital plants that grow us fruits and vegetables and stuff of that nature. Why do you have to go to your garden and pluck the weeds out? Because you want a better harvest. You want all the nutrients going to the tomato plant, to the cabbage. That's what you want. You don't want the weeds sucking the nutrient out. So guess what? In that time period, when the lamb lays down with the lion, think about that. Would that happen today? No way possible. Could you see a little lamb going into a pride of lions and laying down? Well, it's going to be a meal. Pretty quick, it's going to get ripped plumb apart. But in the millennial reign of Christ, that ain't going to happen. Okay? But when Jesus comes back is what he's saying. Okay? So in other words, what Z read is the Battle of Armageddon that's going to set the whole world into a different frenzy. And it says this, and let me finish reading what she said. Immediately after tribulation, those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So now all of a sudden, as I've just explained, when Jesus comes back, every eye is going to see him. He's going to destroy the powers of wickedness with the brightness of his coming. But he says this, all the tribes of the earth are going to what? Mourn. Mourn. I got to be honest with you. If the church was here, I don't think we'd be mourning. If the church was here during that time period, would you be mourning, Z? I'd be ready to get out of here. Said all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn when he shows up. Why? Because they've done accepted the Antichrist. They've done accepted that way of life. They're mourning. They don't want to see him. They know the day of reckoning has come. It said all the tribes of the earth mourn. In other words, no, no, no. I've accepted the mark. He's the one I thought was the way. Now they begin to mourn when he shows up. Why? Because the power, they've been duped, they've been deceived. The whole world begins to mourn. And ready for this? He sends these angels with sound of a trumpet. Now ready for this? That does not sound anything to me like the rapture of the church. There's going to be, at the last trump of God, one trumpet sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Amen? That's the rapture. Well, this says the angels go and gather the elect from the four winds. So in other words, those people that are not in the nation of Israel at that time, those people that have accepted Jesus, that have survived the tribulation, haven't took the mark, then they've got to be brought to where Jesus is. They don't have a spiritual rapture moment. They haven't been changed into a glorified body. They're not changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. So angels have to go gather them together from all over the world and bring them there. Why? Because chapter 25 of Matthew says there's going to be a judgment take place, which is the sheep and the goats. If you've ever read that, you can go back. I planned on getting there today, but I've just talked too much. But there's going to be a judgment take place to where the King of Kings is going to set up and he's going to judge the nations. The goats on one side and the sheep on the other side. The goats will be thrown into hell and the sheep will live on to the millennial reign. Those that treated Israel well, those that did not receive the mark, all those things will take place at that moment. But for those people that received the mark, as we talked Wednesday night, there is no coming back from that. If you receive the mark during the tribulation period, you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. Anybody got any questions? I'm so sorry for not slowing down. It's a lot of information to have to try to share. It's a lot to digest. I understand that. And that's why I actually urge you, go back and listen to it again. I actually listen, whether it's Pastor or Dave or Pat or me, I listen to it later on in the week or something like that. Because, Bubby, I'll be honest with you. There's some things you can sit and listen to it, but then when you hear it again, you're like, oh, I didn't catch that part. I didn't think about that, okay? So, and when we're talking about topics like this right here, I think it's very, very beneficial if you go back and listen to it again because it might help you with something, especially if you leave here and go read Matthew chapter 25 and things of that nature. But that's the whole point of it. In verse 31, it says, when you shall see the Son of Man come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. That's chapter 25, by the way. If you want to get a chance today, go back and read that. Zeke? Hold on.
You mentioned that something about still waiting and watching in the tribulation. So after the rapture, are they still waiting and watching for anything in particular?
You're talking about those that are still here?
Yes.
Okay. They're waiting for the Messiah to come back, the true Jesus to come back. They've got a period of time that they've got to wait. They've got to watch. They've got to, and that's as the Bible goes on in chapter 24. They don't know the day or the hour. Nobody knows the day or the hour, folks. Let's listen. And that applies to us now. That's good, sound advice for us today. We don't know the day or hour Jesus is coming. We better be ready. We better be living a spiritual walk that we are perpetually ready for the rapture. That day, they ain't going to know the day or the hour when he comes back. And Jesus even says, this generation won't pass till all things be fulfilled. Later on in chapter 24, I didn't get to it because of time. What he's talking about there, and I know a lot of times we try to grab that and pull it into, well, that's the nation of Israel, and then there might be something to that, but here's what it also really gets to the point of it, is this. What Jesus is saying, when you see all these things happening during that time period, this generation ain't going to pass. In other words, this ain't going to be 2,000 years gap. This is happening fast. In other words, you're going to still be here when I do come back. When you start seeing all these things, this generation ain't going to pass. Okay, till all these things be fulfilled. In other words, when you start seeing in the tribulation period, he's warning them, before I come back, it's going to happen, boom, 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 boom. There ain't going to be a 2,000-year gap like the church age. It's going to be without that generation passing, this is going to happen. You're going to see me come back. But they're going to have responsibility to watch and wait. In other words, they don't know when he's coming. They ain't gonna, and they, you can have an idea if you see them gathered in Megiddo, if you know the scripture, but as we talk on Wednesday night, and you've been here for it, how many Bibles are going to be around in those time period, fellas? The truth of the gospel has been taken off the earth. A lot of Christians are gone. I know God's still reaching out as we've talked and stuff of that nature, but deception is going to be far more rampant then than it is now. And the, just the simple knowledge that you have right now that you can take for granted, there'll be many not know it. You know what I mean? But Jesus is saying, I told you. The first warning in chapter 24, which in my opinion, as Pastor Walker has preached since I've been here, the first thing he does is take heed that no man deceive you. It's the first warning Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. Take heed that no man deceive you. Why? Because all of this stuff is going to be happening, and there's going to be demonic forces, and you just don't want to be here for that. I'm telling you, deception is going to be rampant. If you don't believe that, folks, listen. You've got your head under a rock. People are being deceived right now. I was up visiting with my family, with my aunt this past week, and she told me of some other family members that say they're Christians, but they do this and do that. It broke her heart. She wasn't taught. She said, "Tell you, I can't believe that. They wasn't raised that way. I can't believe that." You know what? I told her, I said, "Anime, there's people sitting in different churches all over throughout this country, throughout this world, that don't know what the Bible says, and they trust everything that comes out of that pulpit." I'm telling you right now, you have a responsibility to know the Scripture. Amen? Now, that man that's in that pulpit, he'll answer for what he does. He'll answer for what he says. The book of James says, to be honest with you, we have a very grave responsibility. The book of James makes that very plain, that we have a grave responsibility to give you the truth, and we're going to stand for that. Amen? But that being said, it's your responsibility also to know the difference. And if you've read the manual, you'll know the difference. Amen? As I've heard Pastor Walker say, how do we know if it's evil? How we know if it's when evil shows up? If you're walking in the light, you'll know when evil shows up. Amen? If you know what the real thing is, you'll be able to tell the difference of a counterfeit. Amen? I taught here one Sunday morning, the way they teach people, bankers and stuff like that, the way they teach people to discern whether it's a counterfeit bill is for them handling the real thing.